United States.
Donald Trump. Motive and intent. What the former president's 34 felony convictions mean for the election.
Donald Trump's date with Manhattan Criminal Court is not over yet. Next comes his punishment for falsifying business records in the first degree. In days or weeks, Mr. Trump will sit for an interview with a probation officer, a ritual that informs every sentence. Routine questions will be put to him. How are his health and home life? Describe friends and associates. Are any, by chance, gang members? Then the kicker. Does the defendant take responsibility for his crimes? The short, polite answer is absolutely not. To no one's surprise, Mr. Trump assails the verdict that came down on May 30th, as did practically every Republican with ambition. In lockstep, they attacked the proceedings as a rigged show trial and as election interference by a Democratic district attorney, Alvin Bragg, whom House Republicans now want to haul before Congress. "Anyone who defends this verdict is a danger to you and your family," said Tucker Carlson, a right-wing commentator. Donations to the Trump campaign surged. WinRed, a Republican fundraising site, briefly crashed. Joe Biden got a slight bump in several post-conviction polls, though this may be fleeting and Mr. Trump still leads. Really, it's too early to discern the impact, and measuring small shifts accurately is hard. More noteworthy is the Republicans' capacity to rationalise behaviour that until recently they'd considered beyond the pale. The share who told YouGov, a pollster, that a convicted felon should be allowed to serve as president rose from 17% to 58% between April and June. Indeed, there are reasons to be sceptical that a trial about a payoff to a porn star will change many minds. The charges were minor, and the story at its centre was old news. Mr. Trump has weathered an impeachment controversy over the storming of the Capitol, then another impeachment. Other events in the 5 months before the election will overtake this. There'll be debates, conventions, a vice presidential pick by Mr. Trump. Not to mention the fact that the Biden family faces its own legal travails. Hunter Biden, the president's son, is on trial in Delaware for allegedly lying about his drug use while buying a handgun and could go to prison if convicted. Still, in a close election that will be decided in a few states, even slight shifts matter. The verdict will strengthen Mr. Biden's case that the other guy is unfit to lead. And Mr. Trump's remaining legal jeopardy is considerable and could get worse. One unknown is his sentence in Manhattan. On July 11th, 4 days before the Republican National Convention, Juan Merchan, the judge who oversaw the trial, will decide between prison, probation or an unconditional discharge, meaning no penalty at all. Each of the 34 counts of falsifying records carries a maximum prison term of 4 years. Judges weigh up factors like a defendant's remorse and respect for the rule of law. Here, Mr. Trump scores abysmally. He called the judge a devil after the conviction. During the trial, he repeatedly violated a gag order that barred him from attacking witnesses. Any ordinary defendant so contemptuous of the court would have it coming. Working in Mr. Trump's favour, however, is the fact that he's a first-time non-violent felon who happens to be running for president. Prison time looks highly doubtful. More likely is probation, involving regular check-ins with an officer or a discharge. There could be a community service requirement. Collecting rubbish is a common one. In the unlikely scenario that Mr. Trump gets a jail sentence, it wouldn't start until after his appeals had been exhausted, in several years' time. Lest anyone forget, Mr. Trump faces 54 more felony counts in 3 other cases. All are weightier than the Manhattan prosecution. He denies wrongdoing in each. Jack Smith, a special counsel in the Department of Justice, brought 2. His case in Florida, over the alleged mishandling of classified documents, is barely moving because of the plodding pace of proceedings under a Trump-appointed judge. A state case about alleged election interference in Georgia has been paused while the district attorney who launched it is investigated for having an affair with a former member of her team. That leaves Mr. Smith's second indictment, also about the 2020 election, as the only one with a very faint possibility of going to trial before voters give their own verdict in November. Mr. Smith charged Mr. Trump with four felonies related to his alleged attempts to flip the 2020 election. The case is frozen until the Supreme Court rules on Mr. Trump's claim to be completely immune from prosecution for crimes committed while president. The justices could have declined to take up his request and left in place a lower court's sweeping rejection of ex-presidential immunity. That would have jump-started the trial in the spring. But in the oral argument, the justices seemed torn on the question and haven't been quick to answer it. Few embrace the notion that presidents can do no wrong while in office. But a majority seem to think that some presidential acts may be protected from criminal prosecution, even if others are not. If such a nuanced ruling arrives this month, Tanya Chutkan, the judge presiding over that trial, may need to hold hearings on which of Mr. Trump's alleged acts fall under the immunity umbrella, delaying the legal reckoning past the election. If that happens, Mr. Trump's legal woes will no longer be front of mind for undecided voters who tend to tune in shortly before elections. That would be a remarkable thing, given the number of times Mr. Trump has been held accountable in court. He has been found liable in civil cases for sexual assault and defamation twice, and for fraud at his business. His former campaign chairman, two former White House advisers, and his former chief financial officer are convicted criminals too. Instead, voters will be treated to the spectacle of Hunter Biden's second trial. In September, he'll be in the dock again for allegedly dodging taxes between 2016 and 2019. House Republicans have tried and failed to show that the president enabled or profited from his son's business dealings. But their relentless messaging to that effect has served its purpose. In a mid-May poll by Marquette Law School, 46% of registered voters said the president had done something illegal in relation to his son, not much lower than the 54% who said the same of Mr. Trump in the Manhattan case. Winning the election requires persuading a sliver of undecided voters in about six swing states. They tend to focus on everyday concerns like petrol prices, crime and the cost of housing, issues on which Mr. Trump polls better, and pay little attention to politics. Data for Progress, a pollster that works with progressives, found that just 37% of swing voters had heard much about Mr. Trump's conviction, compared with 61% of likely voters. For anyone even remotely plugged in, the notion that people are unaware of the verdict is easy to forget and startling when it registers. Your correspondent, who was in the court the whole way through the trial, confronted the fact on a flight a day after the verdict came down. Seated next to a pleasant woman from Nashville who works in advertising, he asked if she was moved by the trial's outcome. She chewed her mini pretzels and looked a little puzzled. Trial? Whose trial?